Good afternoon and welcome to Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy, a monthly program designed to bring you timely information on various energy topics of interest to Cape Cod. We've used this program over the last 5 years to try to keep you up to date on the initiatives of the Cape Light Compact, which is part of the Barnstable County government. We also serve Martha's Vineyard under an agreement with Dukes County. I'm John Burns, your host, a retired energy efficiency program planner at the Cape Light Compact, which is located at the Superior Courthouse in Barnstable. A few months ago, we did a program on the sources of electrical power for Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. Since then, the Cape Light Compact has put a new contract in place with its supplier, Con Ed Solutions, and we thought it might be a good idea to revisit the topic, talk about what's new, and perhaps fill in our summer residents as well as our regular listeners on the current situation with our electricity supply. And we might peer into the future to see what we can tell about what's on the horizon for us. Joe Sorries is a senior power supply planner at the Cape Light Compact, and Sam Morgan is a Northeast commodity sales manager for Con Ed Solutions, the Compact's power supplier. Gentlemen, welcome to the Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy.
Nice to be here, John. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, John.
And we just had you here a few months ago. Things have changed a little bit. We've got rolling into the summer season, and our population explodes down here on Cape Cod, so I thought it would be a good idea to revisit the subject of where our electricity comes from, how we go about getting it to our various houses and businesses and et cetera. So for starters, there are some folks certainly that have listened to this program a number of times and others that may be tuning in for the first time. So for starters, let's talk about what the relationship is between NSTAR and the Cape Light Compact. Everybody's used to getting their bills from NSTAR, but embedded in that bill is a Cape Light Compact component of it oftentimes. So if you'd start off by explaining that, Joe, it'd be great.
Sure, John. You're correct. Everyone on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard gets an NSTAR bill. There are two pieces to that bill. The first piece on the front page is what we call the delivery charge. And that is the charge that NSTAR has. It's still the regulated part of the business where they deliver the energy that is being consumed by the consumer.
The pole, basically the poles and
the
wires.
The poles and wires, absolutely.
But not the power
not
itself.
Not the power itself.
Right, okay.
There's a second page on the bill, if you're a Cape Light Compact customer, for the energy that you do use. And that's supplied through a contract that the Cape Light Compact has with Con Edison Solutions.
And how is it that we're dealing with Con Edison Solutions? They're a New York company, aren't they?
They're a New York company, that's correct. Back in 1997, and just prior to 1997, all of the utilities in Massachusetts were regulated in what we called in a vertically regulated environment. They owned all of the generating stations, which generated
plants.
The electricity, and the poles and wires. And with deregulation, the generation portion was put out and is now under a competitive arrangement in the state, as with many other states. The piece that is still regulated, the poles and wires, which is regulated by the Department of Public Utilities in Massachusetts, as you call it, the poles and wires, is the delivery piece. That's your transmission, your distribution charges, and so forth. So,
and that's common to every single bill on Cape Cod. And
common to every single bill, whether you're with the Cape Light Compact, or if you're with another supplier, then your second page will reference the other supplier.
All right.
But it's what we called a unified bill or
consolidated bill.
Correct.
Okay. So everybody is an NSTAR customer, but then they may have somebody else supplying the electricity to them, and the actual generation of the electricity. And so most of the customers on Cape Cod are supplied by the Cape Light Compact unless they made an affirmative move to go to a so-called competitive supplier. And those folks that are getting letters in the mail and that kind of thing may go to a competitive supplier, which is, quite frankly, what deregulation was all about. We're supposed to get a competitive marketplace for power, and the folks that wanted to didn't want to bother. They could just stay with Cape Light Compact. Others could go out and shop around. If you recall, or if folks that are listening recall, this similar thing happened with the telecommunications, the telephone industry 30 years ago. We had MCI, we had Sprint, we had all different kinds of long-distance carriers that took over from New England Telephone and AT&T, which is what we used to have in the so-called vertical. And so the electric industry deregulated. Similarly, the competition and savings didn't turn out to be quite as dramatic as happened with telephone, mainly because we're dealing with a commodity. And that rolls me into my next question. Sam, you are the supplier. Con Ed Solutions is a supplier. Cape Light Compact went out for bid to a number of different companies. Joe, you headed that project up. Went out for bid. Turns out that Con Ed Solutions was submitted the best deal for customers on Cape Cod. And we, in the aggregate, when we all get together and we became one big powerful buying force, were able to make the best deal. And Sam, take it from there. How is it that you get that power to us?
Well, it's a good question, John. And backing up just a minute, I think your analogy about the telecommunications industry is a very good one. There's probably some younger listeners who probably don't even remember when there was just
sure. It's always been that way as far as they were concerned.
And you actually, I think I remember my family leased a telephone. That mm-hmm. was the most people didn't own a telephone or multiple telephones, and there were no cordless phones. And certainly that industry has innovated a lot. And you're right. I think it's fair to say that deregulation with the electricity industry, while I think most larger users would certainly say it's been a success and has allowed them to better manage their some of their energy costs and do some innovative things, including demand response or doing some self-generation or installing solar that they were probably more constrained with being able to do prior to deregulation. Most homeowners, for some homeowners, they'd rather probably not even have to deal with a choice. But that said, there are a number of offers, that are out there, and we can talk about those. But getting back to your initial question in terms of, how we provide power to consumers, what we do is we go out into the wholesale market and we make arrangements with wholesale providers to buy energy at levels that we negotiate with them, and then we package that up into a retail product, which we then pass on to consumers. Now, the actual, management of that, getting energy to consumers every single day, is done in part by NSTAR to deliver the energy. And there's also an entity called the New England Independent System Operator that makes sure there's enough generation to match the load every single day. And that's a complicated engineering feat that, frankly, is above
right.
Above my ability to talk about. But they you can't store electricity very well or efficiently. So that's what they are tasked to do.
So they dispatch very different types of power generators. We have nuclear power generators. We got oil power generators. We got coal power generators. We got a few wind power generators. We got a little bit of solar generation, and it all gets mixed up into one place. And this is what you're talking about. It gets dispatched based on efficiency and availability at the time, and price efficiency.
Exactly, and every single hour, actually, those prices change. Now, what a contract that we provide to the Cape Light Compact and in turn the consumers of Cape Light Compact does is we guarantee a set price for a certain amount of time. So it's effectively like insurance against some of those daily price and hourly price fluctuations. And other providers do the same thing.
And that's an interesting concept, because that price, the daily price of power, can vary very dramatically. There is a website, if you go onto the ISO New England website, you can take a look and see what power is selling for at 5-minute intervals. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it in the low $30 per megawatt or so, And it all depends upon what time you happen to be looking at it. But I also was looking at it one time and saw it go over $700 a megawatt, which is pretty dramatic. And I actually took a screenshot of it when I saw it because it was breathtaking that the price had gotten up that high. And yet, Sam, you're required to deliver it to the customers no matter what at the price that you agree to for a six-month period of time, even though it's fluctuating minute by minute.
Correct. And if we've done our job, you know, properly, we've hedged that risk. So,
okay.
You know, we may pay 5 cents for that power, regardless of whether it's trading at 70 cents 1 hour or...
Okay. So you can buy a contract that somewhat stabilizes that also.
Correct.
Okay. Excellent. And so what is happening with price, with power pricing?
Prices, John, have come down dramatically from 2008. If you'll recall, in 2008, around June, July of that year, they were projecting oil at 140 some odd dollars a barrel,
right,
projected to go to 200. Natural gas prices were in the $15, $16 per million BTU range. With the new hydraulic fracking of natural gas, or fracking as they call it, we've seen much more natural gas that at one time was uneconomical to extract from the ground. Now with these new drilling technologies, we're getting much more of this gas into the marketplace. So with this abundance of natural gas, the price of the commodity has come down dramatically. And we've seen levels recently where it actually has gone under $2.
And what had it gotten up to?
It was at 15 or 16.
15 or 16.
And now it's 2008.
Down to 2.
It's down to 2.
Okay.
And as the price of natural gas goes, so goes the price of electricity in New England, because a majority of the generators in New England generate electricity by burning natural gas. If you look back, and I'll give you two instances: one after the hurricane in late 2005, Katrina and Rita, when natural gas in the Gulf was bottled up, so to speak, prices were very volatile, supply was very volatile, prices were very high for natural gas. Our electricity prices back in early 2006 for a residential customer were just under 13 cents, 12.9 cents.
So that's 12.9 cents plus the delivery
plus
cost
the delivery
for
charge.
Enstar, which got it up in the 21 cent range.
Absolutely.
For a kilowatt hour of electricity.
And if you look at the 2008 time frame, you know, in July was 11 cents. It actually was 12.7 cents at a certain period in mid-2008. Since then, prices have come from those levels, 12.7 cents for our residential customers, to what it's going to be in July for the next six-month pricing period, July 2012 through January 2013, it's going to be 6.688 cents.
About
per
half.
Kilowatt hour.
Come down about
so
half.
It's
okay.
Half, and it's come down even from the first 6 months of this year when we were at 7.89 cents per kilowatt mm-hmm. hour for residential customers. So between the first 6 months of this year and what will be coming the second 6 months into January 2013, our residential rate will be lowered by over 1.2 cents, which is significant in the world of electricity, about 15% reduction in the rate from the first half of this year to the second half of this year. And if natural gas prices remain at these levels, at these low levels, we would expect that pricing for electricity would remain at about these levels. Not to say that it won't go up a bit or down a bit, but
unless we have these catastrophic events like we've had in the past,
right.
Or
there's a change with the amount of gas that can be extracted due to environmental regulations, mm-hmm. or something that comes through a regulatory environment that affects the supply of the commodity, then prices should remain fairly stable, I would think, at these levels.
And just to put things in perspective, so people's eyes aren't glazing over too badly. A 1 cent reduction in the price of the commodity itself, the kilowatt hour of kilowatt hour of electricity, a 1 cent reduction represents about what on the bill? About $5 or $6
yeah,
or
right.
so. Yeah,
right. So for us, for the first half of the year to the second half of the year, at a 1.2 cent reduction. Typical residential consumer today, the new benchmark's about 650 kilowatt hours per month, which is a typical residential usage.
Okay.
You're looking at a little under $8 a month savings from the first half of this year to what will be the savings every month for the next 6 months of this year. So you're looking at about $48 to $50 savings in electric bills between July.
Since the high.
Since even the first 6 months of this year, John. A 1 cent drop in price is about $6.50.
Rounded, so it's
a little under $8 between the first 6 months of this year and what will be the price for the second 6 months of this year. Between 2008, when we were at 12.7 cents, and now at 6.6, you're looking at a 6.1 cent reduction. So you're looking at $36 to $40 a month differential from what it was in mid-2008 per month.
You're listening to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy. Our guests today are Joe Soares, Senior Power Supply Planner at the Cape Light Compact, and Sam Morgan is a Northeast Commodity Sales Manager for Con Ed Solutions, who is the Compact's power supply supplier. And we're basically talking about, you know, how we get electricity to Cape Cod and how consumers go about buying it. Joe, the other side, it's kind of funny because the other side of the Cape Light Compact is a huge initiative towards energy efficiency. So a lot easier to sell energy efficiency when energy is expensive. Now it's getting less expensive. But frankly, the two kind of feed on each other. The more energy efficiency you implement, the less demand gets put on the system, and the price, the free market price, is driven down. And that, coupled with the additional supply that's coming online, we're entering into a rather nice situation from an energy standpoint here. People are a lot more sensitive towards energy efficiency. The costs are coming down. Life is good.
Well, John, you know, I think that's a good point. And as you mentioned, you know, the Cape Light Compact also is the administrator for all of the energy efficiency programs on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. When I talk about a 1.2 cent savings in your electric bill of $6.50 or $8 between the
first 1.2 cents a kilowatt hour. Yeah, sure.
So you're talking $8. When you're talking about energy efficiency, if you don't use that 1 kilowatt hour, you're saving the entire bill, which is the delivery piece as well. So for today, even at our low supply price, if you add the NSTAR piece, you're talking about saving 15 to 16 cents per kilowatt hour versus 1.2 cents. So, you know, the old adage, you know, the kilowatt hour you don't use is your biggest savings.
And that may be a good time for us to give the 800 number out for those that may be interested. And we talk on this program all the time about the various energy efficiency programs that the Cape Light Compact has. But you can get a free energy audit. You can get a lot of free energy efficiency products, light bulbs. There's all kinds of things that come associated with the audit. And in order to get it, if you have a bill on Cape Cod, an electric bill on Cape Cod, you're entitled to participate in these programs. And the number is 1-800-797-6699. You just call that number. Tell them you'd like an energy audit. They will schedule you. They'll send somebody out to your house or business, and an auditor will go through and identify the energy efficiency measures. And yeah, you get a double whammy here. You get we're coming into a lower cost energy environment, and couple that with some energy efficiency, and you can save some serious money. So encourage everyone to do that. Sam, I think I'd like to clarify a little more. The relationship between the cost of natural gas and power supply, because I want to make sure that people kind of understand how that works. You convert a raw material, natural gas, into basically an end use or manufactured product, which is electricity. How does that process take place?
Well, so the major driver of the cost of electricity in New England, like Joe indicated, is natural gas, and that's really a function of the fact that despite a lot of renewable energy efforts, our primary fuel to create electricity are still fossil fuels. And in New England, the one that we use the most is natural gas, which fortunately, in terms of the fossil fuels, is the cleanest in terms of pollutants as well as CO2 offput. And really what happens is, natural gas is burned, and Joe, from his experience back in the generation business, can speak more articulately about this than I can, but basically turbines spun and an electric current is created and then it's put onto the grid. And really the cost of the underlying fuel that you're burning, as well as the efficiency of the generating station, as well as the forces of supply and demand, are really what are the primary drivers of electricity costs. And we talked about that hourly price. Well, that hourly price is really a reflection of supply and demand, and really the kind of base cost is a function of that.
And what drives that is people turning on things, their air conditioning units, their lights, their refrigeration. And as more and more people start to turn that on, more demand gets put on the system, and that drives the price. So. But so, Joe, as Sam indicated, you probably are in a better position to talk about this. How do we convert natural gas to electricity? How does that work? Well, in a nutshell,
you have a generator, and coming from the boiler end of the business from years ago, you essentially are putting water into a huge boiler. The fuel is put into the center of the boiler, and it's ignited, and it burns. And as it burns, it heats the water up as it comes up through the sides of the boiler until it gets to a very high pressure and a very high temperature, and it's called superheated steam. It's almost somewhat to a tea kettle when you start to see the steam coming out. It's starting to boil. The steam is dried, and it's put through superheater where they gather more heat, and it finally goes into the steam turbine. The steam turbine turns the generator. The generator puts the electricity out into the switchyard, which is adjacent to every generating station, at a very high, at a voltage. The voltage is stepped up.
Okay.
And then it goes through these large transmission corridors throughout New England.
The so-called high-tension wires.
High-tension wires. Yeah. And then as the electricity flows, it goes to where the load is, the least resistant, so to speak. It comes down off the transmission system into our local switchyards that are scattered throughout New England. The voltage is stepped down in the switchyard. Then it goes out onto the lines on the street. And as it goes down the street, there are also little transformers where the voltage is stepped down even more.
Those are the kind of big cans you see up on top of the poles. Yeah.
And it's stepped down even more, and then it goes into the home. So it's whether it's natural gas or whether it's nuclear or coal or oil, the generation is pretty much the same.
It's all in a matter of how you heat the water.
It's how you heat the water.
Yeah.
And so forth. Even with a nuclear generator, you have the reactor, and then you have what's called the steam generators. Mm-hmm. And there's usually two in every nuclear plant. And as water comes through, you have the heat on the other side. It heats up the water. The same principle. So it's a cycle that's been the same for years and years and years to generate electricity.
Interesting. So let's say I get a letter in my mailbox suggesting that I buy power from a supplier, which is what we want them to do. We wanted, as I say, the whole concept of the competitive energy markets was to get suppliers out there that would try to get the best price to the consumer. What do I do when I get one of these letters? And where can I go for more information?
Because
I get calls like this all the time. People call me just out of the clear blue and say, John, what am I supposed to do with this letter I just got?
Yeah,
and so,
yeah. You know, just as the telephone industry was deregulated when Ma Bell was broken up into a lot of different companies, what we're seeing today, I think more than ever, because prices are at the levels that they are today, we're starting to see new companies coming into the marketplace to try to get consumers to switch.
Do they actually own generators?
No, they're in the marketplace as well in most cases. And the question that often is asked is, I receive this telephone call and I've got this low price, what should I do? And my response is, there are three things you really should do. The first thing you should do is you should compare that to any other offer that may be out there, whether it's a short-term offer. We saw offers recently come out in March and April from one firm offering a fixed price, which was below the Compact's price. But here we were 2 weeks later, and when we issued our price for the next six-month pricing term, it actually was below the offer that was being
So in other words, make sure you're comparing current pricing.
Apples to apples.
Exactly. Okay.
So compare other short-term offers and look if there's any other long-term offers for beyond 6 months or a year or two and see how that compares. But most importantly, I think for consumers to understand is when you receive a solicitation on the phone or in the mail, make sure you read the contract terms. Make sure there are no there's no ability for the supplier to pass through extra costs that may come through as a result of regulatory changes or changes from ISO New England, the grid operator, which from time to time, depending on circumstances, can put additional charges on suppliers. And also make sure that there is no exit fee. If you leave that supplier before the end of your contract term, sometimes there's an exit fee. We've seen it as low as $50. I've seen it as high as $150.
Okay.
Now, obviously, if you're going to be subjected to one of these cancellation charges, any savings that you would have ever dreamed of having
aren't
going to
rise to that level.
Aren't going to rise to that level.
Okay.
The other thing I think most consumers need to realize is that there are certain things you shouldn't do. I mean, these are things you should do when you receive an offer, but there are things you shouldn't do. When you are talking to someone on the phone who wants you to switch suppliers, you really should never give out your 11-digit NSTAR electric account number. That's like giving the keys to your house. With that number in hand, even if you tell the person on the phone that you don't want to be switched, we've seen some instances where people, in fact, have been switched. You should never commit on the phone to anything and always ask for something in writing so that when you receive the material, you can verify that what you were told on the phone is what you actually received.
So in other words, don't make a decision right there.
Right, exactly.
Don't, under any circumstances, give out your electric account
Absolutely.
Number. And I think, you know, we'll leave it at that. I appreciate you guys coming back in again, and thank you very much. You've been listening to Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy, timely topics on energy matters of interest to the Cape Cod community. If you have questions or topics you'd like us to address on future programs, you can email us at focus@capelightcompact.org or call 1-800-797-6699 and let us know. You can also visit our website at www.capelightcompact.org. If you have questions on today's topic, the power supply, you can call 1-800-381-9192. I'd like to thank my guests, Joe Sorres, Senior Power Supply Planner at the Cape Light Compact, and Sam Morgan, a Northeast Commodities Sales Manager for Con Ed Solutions, the Compact's power supplier. I'd also like to thank our engineer, John Braden, the Station Operations Manager, for his good work in getting the program out to you. Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy is broadcast from the historic schoolhouse in Provincetown, WOMR 92.1, and in Orleans, WFMR 93.1 on your FM dial. It is also streamed on the World Wide Web at www.womr.org. I'm your host, John Burns. Thank you very much for listening. Please join us next month, same time, same stations, and remember, use energy wisely. It's a precious and increasingly scarce resource.